My beloved people, there is really nothing in today's bulletin that I need to point out to you, as you can see for yourself what is there to be read. So therefore, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, all the earth shall adore thee, Lord. The celebration and the feast of Christmas is now over, and as you can easily see, that which remains of the decorations of Christmas are slowly and regularly being put away, put aside, packed up for the next time we use them. And now, very quickly, and this year rather early, we are going to change that which is decorative to that which is penitential. As in another week or two, we shall be bringing in the Septuagesima season. And we begin to speak in terms of penance and mortification and reparation and prayer and such like. Now, I would like to ask this kind of question. Are we here, those of us who have chosen to come here, are we here because of a ceremonial? Are we here because we prefer a certain ceremonial? Are we here because we're hooked, to put it as the colloquialism of today? Are we here because we are hooked on this kind of ceremonial? That we prefer this ceremonial to another kind, which we have taken to criticize? Is mortification and penance and abstinence and self-denial and all such like, is that all part of an ordinary ceremonial that we have involved ourselves in? I don't think so. In the present situation of things, the awesomeness of God has been completely painted over with our own paints, the paints that we have chosen. We've put a coating on God. We've put a clothing on God. We have changed God to fit our own type of life, our own preferences. And we've made of God a kind of a weak sister who is ready to pat us on the head and is all forgiving and quickly looking for our excuses for doing this or that or the other, and simply saying, very quickly saying, you didn't really mean to do that. You're a good boy. You're a good girl. Now you go ahead and be good from now on. Just try to be good. Do the best you can. This is the kind of God that we have painted for ourselves. We've lost respect for God. We've lost, or rather I should say, God has lost all consequence as far as we are concerned. You remember reading, I don't offhand I'm not a scripture student and don't pretend to be. You remember how in the Old Testament, once upon a time, the Ark of the Covenant was about to topple. And some of the people around the Ark of the Covenant, and remember, all that the Ark of the Covenant held was a staff, a piece of wood, and a couple of stones that had the tablets of that we call them the tablets of the Ten Commandments, and some other odds and ends. That's all that was in the Ark of the Covenant. But the Ark of the Covenant started to topple. And some men who were close by, they were not appointed men. They were interested in the safety of the Ark of the Covenant. And so they went up to it quickly to catch it, to keep it from toppling. And they were struck dead on the spot. Because in spite of what they did, they were not the ones that had been appointed to take care or to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And you want to know something? We today are dealing with the same identical, unchanged God who struck those men dead. On the spot. We do not have the Ark of the Covenant. We do not have a box in which are stored a piece of wood and a few rocks. We do not have that box. We have something, we call it the tabernacle. And in that tabernacle, we do not store a piece of wood and a few rocks. We store, in fact, indeed, absolutely, without question, the body of Jesus Christ, the body of God Himself, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And today, any Tom, Dick, or Harry who presents himself or herself or itself can reach out to touch and to distribute. Has God changed? I don't think so. God has turned away from us and has told us in so many words, if this is what you want, you can have it. I'll have no part of what you're doing. Let us go back to Scripture for a moment. You know the story of the three wise men. This episode is pointed out by none other than the great Saint Bernard in one of his sermons. The three wise men, as you know, traveled from afar, a great distance, a truly great distance. And they followed the light of this particular star, which was leading them. And as they finally were approaching the city of Jerusalem, they took it upon themselves to consult with man about the star. And what happened? The star disappeared. You see, when we go to man to find our answer, very easily, without any fight, without any dialogue, without any anything, Almighty God simply turns the light off. And only after these men left the consultation of man and probably admitted their mistake, the light reappeared. To me, that's a very powerful story. We are dealing with God, and all the earth, the opening words of today's introit, all the earth shall adore thee. The mountains and the hills and the oceans and the wind and the fire, all the earth shall adore thee. How shabbily do we pretend to treat our God? We are not here because we prefer this ceremonial to another ceremonial. Our connection with Almighty God is not open for discussion. Not because I said so, or not because anybody else has said so, but everything you look at, no matter where, you see the finger of God, and it just isn't open for dialogue. It isn't open for interpretation. It isn't open for qualification. It isn't open for excuses. The men who dared to touch the ark could have said, "Oh, we didn't know. We were just trying to be helpful. We didn't know. Please excuse us." There was no word spoken. They were struck dead. We have lost our understanding of God. And we think that anything we do is acceptable to Him. Anything we do, good or bad. If it's bad, He forgives us. If it's good, He smiles. In both cases, He smiles. And as you notice at the burial service today, in our own Catholic Church, puts the dead man's soul in heaven ipso facto. And so we ring the bells, we sing the joyful songs, we sing Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Nothing is said of the dreadful judgment of God. Nothing. there is no reference made to it. Not even an inkling is given to that. Am I trying to frighten? Yes, I am. When dealing with God, it is a frightening situation. We speak of mortification, and today we have it in our bulletin. And we call it Catholic life experience. You've heard me use the word experience quite a bit lately. What is Catholic life experience? Some people think that all you got to do is go to Mass on Sunday, churchgoers, say the rosary with some kind of exactness. Don't eat meat on Fridays. And certainly you don't eat candy during Lent. And that is Catholic experience. You've heard me say it over and over again, my beloved people, that is nothing. The Catholic experience begins with me. It begins inside of me. And probably next Sunday, I'm not quite sure yet, we will talk about prayer once again. We will talk about prayer, not prayers. Prayers are fine. I'm not putting down prayers in the plural. I'm speaking about prayer. What kind of life do we live? Do we promote? Do we present? Do we believe? Do we accept? Do we put into practice? What kind of life is it when we step off the stoop of this church that we lead? What do? And we expect ourselves to be acceptable to God? Let us not criticize anybody. If we see them living a poor Christian life, let us be mindful of the fact that grace has brought you here. And to whom much has been given, from him much more shall be expected. Loving God, being a servant of God, is not necessarily a fun thing. Almighty God has his own way of turning us into saints and going to parties, even though today we start off his public life with a party. Loving God is not party time. And it has been turned into party time elsewhere. And it is a fun thing elsewhere. Has God changed that much that now he is a God of fun and frolic, which once upon a time he struck men dead on the spot? For doing even a good thing, but unauthorized. God is a dreadful God. He has a right to be that way. He put me here for a specific purpose. It isn't for me to take that purpose and to analyze it and to dissect it and to study it and to apply it to my own personal self-willed, self-indulgent way of life. He put me here for a purpose, and it must be done. It must be fulfilled, not according to my norms, but according to his norms, whether I like it or not. And he gave me a free will. He gave me a very definite free will, whereby in this free will of mine, I am totally and completely free to make a decision and to make a choice. And the choice that I make has to be absolutely clear-cut. He himself said, I would rather have you hot or cold. But the lukewarm I shall spit out of my mouth. We have to make a clear-cut decision. And this decision is not easy, and we are obliged to do it his way. So now, as we are putting Christmas away and the feastings of Christmas away, and you notice how at Christmas time, because it was, or it is, truly an awesome moment, the central point of our existence is Christmas, in how we even allowed feasting to a certain extent, even when feasting was told to be put aside, because we could not contain ourselves with the joy of the birth. Now that's put away. And now we cannot contain ourselves with the fear that we must have of losing our immortal souls. Man's answer to that is, oh, I think that hell is just something that we have invented, and it was invented by this church to keep all of us pretty much on the straight and narrow path. But probably hell is not such a terrible place after all. As a matter of fact, do we not hear, even in religious places, and I will not try to tell you what religious places, you can figure that out for yourselves, that in religious places, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, gives me all that I like now. That means that Lucifer loves me. And that means that Lucifer is not so bad after all. But this God that you say you love, look at the punishment that he places upon your shoulders. I think I'll choose Lucifer. This is what many of our children, and not only just children, but our young adults, and not just some of our young adults, but some of our older adults, and not just some of our older adults, but some of our priests are saying the same thing. And what I have just said is on tape. And I'm so certain of myself that I'm not afraid to put that remark or that statement on tape. It is recorded that I have said that. And I do not wish to go higher than priests. I'll leave the rest to you. We are not here because of a ceremonial. We're not here because we like what we see here. We like the sound of Latin, and if we could sing, which we can't, and every time we try singing, the statues want to walk out. And the song that you would hear him, if we could sing, we're not here for that. We're here to give honor and glory to God. That's it. We're here to save our immortal souls. That's it. And whatever the difficulties involved in saving my soul, it's worth it. It is simply worth it. So now, we are preparing, we put Christmas away, and we're heading straight for Lent. And I do hope and I do pray that what we do is for the greater honor and glory of God and the salvation of our immortal souls. Nothing else matters. Nothing. Not even one grain of sand on the seashore is equal, is important. God bless us, everyone.